English musician Finn Greenall, a.k.a. Fink, has gone through several incarnations in his career. He's been a DJ and producer of electronic music. Then he taught himself guitar and transformed into a singer-songwriter, creating an eclectic sound all his own. He's put out several albums to his credit, including 2014's Hard Believer, with this song, Pilgrim.
Come a long way, not to ask the question that's been on your lips all the way. Spit it out.
You've heard Fink's music in the films Selma and 12 Years a Slave and on TV's The Walking Dead. On his latest album, which is out next week, Fink takes a trip into the blues.
Lona.
That's Keep Myself Alone Now from Fink's new album, Fink's Sunday Night Blues Club, Volume 1. And Fink joins us from his studio in Berlin. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks very much for having me, Eric. It's nice to be back.
This is your inimitable take on the blues. I mean, you've taken some signature elements, but it's very much Fink's take on the blues. Why tackle this sort of iconic founding genre?
First of all, I needed to find my own space in the blues. I've always wanted to do a blues project, and I didn't want it to be a pastiche or a kind of photocopy of you guys' heritage, you know. I really wanted it to be a real thing, and I kind of touched a bit on the blues on my Perfect Darkness album with this track Wheels, and I touched on it again with the Hard Believer album with the track Hard Believer, and I felt like, okay, I've got some blues which is my own. I've got a place in this landscape that I can build my own shack on. And I kind of waited to do the album until I was in a space where, you know, I could do it justice.
Right. If you get a sense on this album, this is authentic Fink. It's coming from you. You're not trying to just photocopy.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, I really worked on that. And I think I took great inspiration from people like Howlin' Wolf and John Lee Hooker. And with Modern Records and my other Fink records, we write it, we record it, we go to LA normally and, you know, mix it down and do the whole rock and roll thing. But with this one, it was different. I wanted it to be rough and ready and scratchy and edgy and like the records I love.
Well, speaking of John Lee Hooker, let's listen to Boneyard. I mean, where you kind of channel John Lee Hooker with a little Elmore James thrown in.
Nice.
One day, bells are gonna ring, frighten all the birds in the boneyard, in the boneyard.
Your eclectic approach to the blues is somehow sounding more authentic than some of the modern blues albums you hear, which kind of feel like they're still trying to reproduce something that's gone past.
Oh, it's very kind of you to say so, Eric. Thanks, man. Blues is so on the surface, it's so simple that you can't really deviate from that. And it made writing it and recording it really challenging because, you know, you have your template, you have your framework and your bookends, and you're not really allowed to deviate from that. So how can you try and be original within this sort of framework? And it made it a real challenge. And I guess the only original element is yourself. You're the most unique piece of equipment in the studio. And so you've got to channel as much of yourself as you possibly can into the performances and the tracks.
Let's take a listen to one of my favorites, She Was Right.
Oh, she left me, yes, she did. She was right, she was right, she was right.
to do it when she did. And I think about her with the music getting loud to the whiskey and to the powder.
Well, she was right. I mean, I don't know. It's one of my proudest moments on record, I got to say. And weirdly enough, it's probably the least bluesy track on the record, I might add as a caveat.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to do this blues track, and I was trying to do a track about the fact that my girl was actually right. She was right to leave, and she was, and you know, my girlfriend was right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I went through loads of riffs and went through loads of, you know, vibes. I couldn't quite find the vibe on it, and I thought, look, before you lose the mojo, just record an a cappella version. And I just recorded it freestyle, and then I did some backing vocals for it, just trying to find the juice. And I sent it to the genius Colin Stetson, who's just fantastic. The guy is amazing. And we came back with this kind of opus to go with this blues track, and it gives me goosebumps every time I hear this track. And every single channel is, apart from my voice, it's all wind instruments, no synths, no post-production. It's all just circular breathing and Colin Stetson being a total genius.
Produced this album with the producer Flood, who's worked quite a bit with big names like U2 and Warpaint. How did he help shape or influence this blues album?
He sees music in a different way from us. He kind of sees it in color. So he would be just trying to paint these sonic pictures with my bits and pieces and the parts that I had. And knowing that I really wanted something real and genuine and scruffy and hissy and noisy. So I was in his studio for 6 days. I honestly have no idea what he did, but because it was all kind of magical and mystical and very, very, very loud. All I know is the demos that I went in with, I thought were already pretty scruffy and already pretty good. And he added another layer of depth. He made it more widescreen, much more bandwidth, much more, the bass was much more bassy, everything was just made just edgy, really, really edgy.
I love that idea. He sees music in colors and landscapes. Let's take a listen to Cold Feet.
Walk in a vicious circle.
So Sunday Night Blues Club, Volume 1, it sounds like it's going to be a continuing project when you feel like it, Fink, is it?
Yes, that was a very deliberate to put Volume 1 in the mix because... Right. I'm not walking away that quickly, you know. It was like I so enjoyed making this record, and if I'm going to have a side project, then the Sunday Night Blues Club is definitely it. We're already writing and recording the new Fink record, which will be more of a traditional Fink album, you know, a natural progression from the previous journey. But then, as soon as that's done, Volume 2 will definitely be in my diary.
And why Sunday night? I mean, why not blues out on a Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, but Tuesday's pretty depressing, I suppose, yeah. I think this one comes from my days when I was working. I used to work for record companies in the late 90s and early noughties, and it was an office gig. you know, you'd get to Friday night, you'd have that euphoric Friday feeling, and you'd get to Sunday night, and then you'd realize, tomorrow morning I'm back at work for 5 days, the next time I'm going to feel like this is 5 days away. And so we'd definitely get a bit of Sunday night blues, and we're kind of letting the tracks out on Spotify and other media every Sunday night, so that if you're hanging out on a Sunday and feeling blue, you can just grab the latest track from the record as we lead up to the release date. It's not Saturday Night Blues Club, because that might be a bit more raucous and a bit more juke joint and a bit more, you know, aggressive. Sunday night, yeah, this is the time.
Fink's new album is Sunday Night Blues Club Volume 1. It's out March 10th. He joined us from Berlin. Fink, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for the time, Eric. Really appreciate it.